live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Hallelujah. So now we know Pastor has been dealing with new beginnings. I don't have a transparency. Oh, look. My goodness gracious. Now, we've been dealing, I'm going to tell you why I said my goodness gracious in a moment. God is so absolutely complete. Yes. He is so absolutely complete. Things that look little to us, we don't know how he is so calculated. Yes. He's a good God. So I was saying, I don't have a transparency or anything, but I'm just going to share some of the things God has given me. We're going to stay along the same vein as new beginnings. That's what we're focusing on. But I want to share a couple things just to get you excited. God does not do anything by accident. Now, Sister Mary, I'm not certain why you put this transparency up. Or not transparency. Oh, my goodness. I'm dating myself. This PowerPoint. But my favorite thing that I like, if you could say I'm someone who likes to collect pictures of things, I like getting lighthouses. And I don't know if I've ever told you that, but to look, and I'm like, hey, girl is anointed. She is anointed. So that's unique. Also, this morning we were at home, Ivy and I, we were getting ready, and Ross stayed with us last night, and the kids, oh my goodness, they were up so late. They were still up at 12:30. Playing around, and I had told them to get to bed. So anyway, after I had done electroshock on them, and I didn't mean that. No, but seriously, they were asleep, and now it's the next morning. We're getting up this morning, and Ivy and I started just going through, and we were singing this song. And even though we didn't do it today, it brought some healing to me. This morning, because I just kept saying, "Oh, let until he has it all. My heart is yours." So I'm going through the house doing that, and that worshipful song started changing to. They were laughing at me as I was doing that. And I said, man, I don't know. Maybe we're going to break this thing out. I don't know this morning. Maybe we're going to break it out, but it's doing something for me. So we come through the door. I break everything. I'm bringing my stuff into the sanctuary. And what is Brother Chris playing? He said, "Dad, did you say it was on your heart or you just felt like?" Right. And so we grabbed the sheet music just in case we went there. So I just, little things like that, that just is like God saying, I got you. I got you. And so I take pleasure in those type of places because in those seasons where I see children being taken out, I don't understand what God is doing, or situations where I say, why are they allowed to go through that? And those times that the enemy would try to come on you and make you think God no longer exists. God does something, and it could be small. But it's his way of letting you know, I'm still in charge of this thing. To the finest detail, Otis, I'm going to even get your lighthouse up there. So, God is good. I'm just going to pray real quick and we're going to get rolling. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you for this awesome opportunity to be before your people, to represent this church, to represent you. and to love on you, Father God, together. I thank you for whatever you have for us to hear today. I ask that we would hear it and it will be clear to our hearts in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I ask that only the things that are of you will remain. My little jokes and playful things, let them fall to the side. But let your word remain in us and let us reap a harvest from it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to get into new beginnings, and I only want to capitalize on about three or four different things, and there's about three scriptures. Amen. And I will say I'm kind of cheating a little bit. I had already written an article about new beginnings, and so I had just been writing an article this week. So some of this is coming from that, but I think it's right and it's on time. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so a couple things I want to point out before we really get rolling. When you think of new beginnings, when you think of new beginnings, one thing that's very important for us to keep in mind, new beginnings is not the same as beginning again. Okay? New beginnings, it is not the same as beginning again. If we are going to come into the season God has for us, and if we're going to approach our new beginning in the proper way, we've got to do it in the right mindset, and we got to capitalize on it, in the right mindset that this is new. See, listen, the funny thing about us, and this is just people, we go off of habits. We dumb down things a lot of times. And it's not because we're dumb. It's because it's convenient. So we kind of approach things and we say, well, we know this way. We've been here before. And so when you say, hey, let's do this. This is a new beginning. Well, what does that mean? Oh, well, it's January. We just had New Year's Eve. It's January. It's a new beginning. What does that mean? Well, I know January 2nd follows January 1st. I know we got a set of holidays that's about to come up, and we got these different things we acknowledge. And so we got a routine. So we say we're beginning new, but really, no, we're just beginning again. And the problem with beginning again is it's going to get you the same results. And God doesn't want us having the same results. So if we're really going to embrace new beginnings, we got to emphasize that thing that says new and then ask, well, what's new about it? Amen? If you're just going to begin the same thing over, it's not good. You haven't gotten rid of the things that are corrupt. You haven't gotten rid of those things that were weak or held you back. You just started over. I can't tell you how many friends I've had over time, and I've seen relationships, and they repeat themselves. They come out of one, and they say, oh, that would never happen again. Then they start a new one, supposedly new, but really they're just starting again. And the same thing. I couldn't believe how many times, I love my sister to death, but I could not believe how many times she fell into relationships with men who wanted to hit on her. And I'm like, my goodness, not again. Even to the degree that one time, when it first happened, I was too little to deal with it. I couldn't take the guy out. But as time went on, I got bigger and more dangerous. And so I was able to, but that tells you the span of time. We repeat things. Why? Because it's easy. It takes work to stop and really make this thing new. So that's just one point. I'm gonna come back to these, and I'm going to show some scripture to go along with it. And I promise I won't be long-winded. Another thing we must understand is if we are properly going to begin something fresh and new, we have to close or end the previous thing in the proper manner. Amen? These things are absolutes if you're going to really embrace your new beginning, or else you're just going to reproduce. If we want our new beginning really to be the same as the old, that's fine. You don't have to do any type of closing of the last thing properly. You don't have to really consider the new. Let's just create this thing. Let's keep it going, really, is what we're saying. Too many times we go into a new season, but we haven't closed down that thing. And so we try to carry it on into the future, and you can't hold both. Now, I want to be careful about, sometimes preachers get up and we speak in generalities. I want to be careful because not every new season means that everything has to be cut off. I want to make sure you don't automatically, I'm going to a new season and a new thing that God is doing, and then just shut everything down. Some things are not done, okay? Some things are meant to keep going. But you got to be before God and asking him, what is he doing? We're going to look at some scripture that will give us an understanding of different characters in the Bible and what they had to deal with. But if we are not ready to really deal with closing something properly, you know, my children, as they get a little bit older, I start giving them a little bit more responsibility. Like Jayden, she's mad she can't pour her own milk. Like Seth can pour his own milk. Seth, I had to teach him to close the top, you know, because he would leave it open and that stuff would spoil faster than it was supposed to, you know, or he would leave it out on the counter. And so Jayden gets upset, but when I let her do it, it might be spilled all over the countertop. The lid might be left open. She doesn't really close it down properly. And, you know, it just causes trouble. Amen. Some of us, the next season that God's trying to take you to, you will not be able to carry that friend with you. It's not because they're not a friend to you anymore, but you got to recognize your new season and what God's trying to take you into. And if you're going to begin it properly, you've got to do some assessing of what is it we're about to do and why is it different this year. I love it when pastors, I don't really love it, I would say that, but it's funny when ministers, we always come up with these sayings when we're approaching the new year, you know? It's like whatever year it is, it's something that's going to rhyme with the year. But is it real? You know? We really got to make certain that it's real. So let's turn real quick. I want to look at something in Numbers 13. Pastor was here not too long ago. Numbers 13. Let's see. Where do I want to start in there? We'll deal with verse 31, but just to set this up, to remind you, I know we've heard this scripture over and over, and I want to tell you, anytime you approach a message, when someone starts bringing out scripture, sometimes we get real, I already said that sometimes working at things or accepting new change, we don't do it, we go off of the old thing because it's easy. Even when we start to hear someone bring a word, we start trying to fit it into the things we already know. And so when I say this scripture, it's like, I heard that scripture before. I bet I know what he's going to share. And so your ears are not as attentive as they need to be. I want to encourage you, act like you've never come this way before today. You've never been this way before, so you got to be alert. I drive much more alert when I'm on a road I've never driven before than when I know, I don't even read the signs anymore. You know, why? I've been on this road over and over. Act like you've never been here before and perk your ears up to see what God's going to say to you. Amen? So right here in Numbers 13, this is where the men of God, they had come out of Egypt. They were, God had them spy out their land. He sent some spies into the land to see what was going on there, to make an assessment and come back and tell the people. And we know that the people, these spies came back. This is where we had Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb and Joshua came back with a good word, but there was others who came back and they were just fearful. I want to focus in on what they said here. Just in verse 31, it says, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they have explored. That's what they did. That's terribly spreading that, first off. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim, forgive me if I say that wrong, but I hope that's right. There, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. That's just in parentheses there. We seemed like grasshoppers. Listen to this. This is where we're really focusing. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Now, I am actually talking about closing down the old and embracing the new beginning. All right. Now, when they made that assessment, they're spying on the land, they're looking, and they've already said things about them. They said they devour the land. Oh, they're strong. They're great, powerful. These are men of God looking into an area that God has already told them is theirs. And they said, we look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. That's important. And they might as well have said, therefore, so we were in theirs. But I want to tell you, they said the men there were stronger than they were. I don't know that they got down and wrestled with them. I don't know that they did any, you know, arm wrestling. Were they lifting weights? What helped them to make this assessment? They're greater than we are. I don't know. But because of them forgetting what they just came out of, they just saw God put plagues on a land that held them captive for hundreds of years. They saw God strike down the firstborn. They saw the Red Sea split. They saw them come through safely. And then when the enemy was trying to follow, they saw God close that thing up. All of those things they saw in the previous, they did not carry it forward to the new. And so therefore, they lost sight of who they were. Wait a minute. What God would stop and do all this for us only to bring us to a place where he would have us encounter people greater than us and have us lose? The same God that parted the sea is on your side. So using this scripture, I want to deal with something right now. The problem is not how your enemy sees you. They don't know how the enemy saw them. They said, so we were in their eyes. You don't know that. You have to project that. You don't know that. And I want to tell you something. Right now, many of us fail. Bring it current today. Many of us fail not because we don't have the goods to get the job done. Many of us fail because we carried failures from previous things into our future. And our assessment is based on what's easy. It's easy for me to look back and calculate and say, this is just what I do. This is just how I develop. I failed there. I failed that person. I didn't make this happen. I said I was going to do this and I broke my promise. Now they just expect me to break my promise. So it's no big deal. I'm walking in my character. And we're going into new things, repeating old stuff, because we don't stop somewhere along the line and say, I'm going to do the hard thing. I'm going to look at myself. That's harder than facing your enemies, because you lie to yourself every day. I can't tell you how many times I lied to myself picking up a piece of cake I wasn't going to eat. Are there any children in here? Okay. No, what I was about to tell you, and I try not to get too, I'm really not shy. And so I got to be careful with what I share. But I remember a time when I loved the Lord with all my heart, but this young lady had asked me to come over to her place. I didn't know Ivy. I was single. Young lady asked me to come over to her place, and I knew good and well she liked me. She had tried to trap me in other situations, but she was a good friend. While I was getting all dressed up, putting on the right type of outfit and everything else, I said, oh God, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm not going to let this happen. And I'm just getting all made up so I could go over here. No, good. Well, why are you dressing the part? And God said, stop lying to me. I know the truth. You can't fake out of this one. And too many times we try to fake out God, but we're not faking nobody. You can get other people to just leave you alone, but guess what? You're still left with yourself. And you've got to face yourself at some point and kill yourself. You got to slay yourself so that the new you can arise. I don't care what the world says about you. The world's banking on you being a failure like before. The problem is when we succeed and when we're successful, when we accomplish what we're supposed to, the enemy says that's an exception. And we buy into the exception. And when we fail, we say, there I am, that's the norm. And it's easy to be a failure. It takes work to be successful. And like I said, we're going to take the path of least resistance. We're going to do what's easy. Even when failure hurts, some of us get comfortable in our hurt. Amen? You cannot do that. If you're going to embrace your new beginning, you're going to have to face yourself and say, what did I not do right? And sometimes it's scary for people to do this because you got to ask other people, what's your assessment of me? And I don't know if you've ever done that, but I've sent out letters to 10 people before, and I said, listen, I need you to give me an assessment in these different areas, and anything else you want to add, tell me about myself and be real honest, because I want to get better. Because my goal was I was going to take those things, and I was going to really look at them and say, do I do that? Some of us are great at impression management. We are good at setting ourselves up. We look a certain way. We present ourselves a certain way. We sell it. But then when it comes to walking it through, it starts to fall off. As time goes on, it's harder to keep that impression. But I don't want to be fake. I want to be real. And I want to say, Lord, what is it that you don't want me carrying into my new season? My son, Seth, he loves playing video games. And he likes playing this one game on his Wii or on my iPad. Sometimes I think it's his iPad. But I watch him. He plays over and over, and with each game, he gets better. He says, Daddy, don't go that way. When I jump on, I'm the newbie. Daddy, don't go that way. If you go that way, you're going to fall. You got to get this first, Daddy. If you go that way, you're going to. How does he know that? Because he's learning with each round. He's learning. He's saying, don't go there. Something so simple. But we don't do that. We keep doing the same thing. Repeating the same thing, you know, and we got to break it somewhere. We got to break it somewhere. I think that if the spies had come back and said, listen, we weren't able to part the Red Sea either. And yes, they look mightier than we do, but we're not going by ourselves. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Woo! We're not going by ourselves. If you think God gave you something to do, lady of God, if you think God gave you something to do and he just expects you to get out there and do it in your own power, no, no, no. There is no devil in hell that can stop you when you align yourself with what God said do. I'm telling you the truth. I don't care what it looks like. If you just know you heard God, that's the key. So I don't want to make this sound real simple, like, oh, just go into the new beginning, close that. No, you got to seek God's face, but that too takes work. That means you might not be able to go to a certain movie you want to. Or maybe when your friends are going out to party and God says, no, you stay. You got to say, yes, I do love him this much to stop and stay and silence myself. God, what is this new beginning? There was a time that God dealt with me because when I addressed this young lady, I was talking about her vehicle and she had this little Toyota Tercel. And every time I talked about her car, I would say, oh, that's cute. Well, I didn't realize as I was saying that, that was demeaning to her. Or when I said, look at you with your cute little homework assignment or whatever. She had to say, you know what you're saying to me is, it's almost like you're counting my stuff as petty. I stopped and I, what? No, I don't mean that. She said, every time you talk about different professions, you'll say this profession and you'll use a male gender, but when you use this profession, you'll use a feminine. And I stopped and I said, okay, let's check that out. Let's test me, let's check me. And I did that. And you know, it helps me to go forward and understand that is who you are sometimes, and you gotta cut that thing out. You know, it seems small. I believe when God told Joshua to be of good courage, it wasn't because he was going to be facing enemies. I think it was because Moses was just taken out, and the people he had to lead were going to be difficult. And he was going to have to face them and to lead them and not be afraid of how they treated Moses. And he was going to have to be real with himself. In order to lead those people, you got to know who you are and do what you're supposed to do. And sometimes we, the people we need to be, the item we need to be most focused on being strong against is ourselves. We blame it on our enemy. Our enemy's not that strong, tell you the truth. We're going to see him one day and we're going to say, is that what turned the world upside down? That little thing? No, it's us. So how are we going to approach our new beginning? I think first off, we got to look at what we've just come from. Really talk about it and say, what went right? And do not be afraid to toot your own horn. We are so humble sometimes. Or actually, it's a false humility. So we got a problem acknowledging and accepting praise. But trust me, praise begets praise. And so if you look back and you say, you know what? I did do well there. That did happen there. Thank God for being with me. Thank God for showing me that. And as you start to speak that and you start to believe, that is how you produce. That's what I actually say to myself. I said this the other day. I was shocked that I do the same thing. I had got such a good evaluation. I was blown away. And I said, wow, who's she talking about? You know, but God had me saying over and over, that is how you produce. Why is it the fourth evaluation and you still acting like you're surprised that you produce good work? And so I had to say, you know what? That is how I do. That's me, because I'm honoring my Father. And it is not an exception. It is the norm. You see what I'm saying? I've got to speak that to myself, because guess what? Nobody else will speak that to me. I mean, they might, but it has to come from me. Amen. And when I fail, if it's my fault, I need to deal with that thing. And I need to understand and try to break it down the best I can. What happened? And usually when I fail, I don't know about you, when I fail at something, I can go back and identify if was it me? Maybe I really didn't fail. Maybe I did everything God told me to do, and that thing looked like it failed. When I do everything God told me to do and it fails, I mean that the response, if it's involving someone else, I don't automatically consider that a failure. Some people will not choose God, even though you went and told them what God told you to tell them. What you got to do is say, was I successful in doing what God told me to do? And that means, did God tell me to say it? Yes. Did I go and say it? Yes. Did I say it in the timing he wanted me to say it? Yes, I did. Some of you may get fired doing the right thing. So you can't even look at that and say, I failed. You can trust God and know that he's going to honor you, and he's the one who gives you a paycheck. Amen. So if we're going to embrace the new, we've got to understand and look and close out the old in the proper way. And I don't say we close anything. And when we do conferences, we should have that time where we stop and we talk about what went right, what went wrong, what don't we want to do next year, and we do that. You've got to do it. Now, I want to look over in
2 Chronicles 35. Let me, while we're turning to that, 2 Chronicles, I want us to think about this. And ladies, you tell me how you feel about this. You're about to get with a guy who you just think is the world. So handsome, so debonair. He's a lot like me. Oh, I mean, I'm joking. Okay, I joke a lot, but no, not a lot like me. But anyway, this guy's just everything you think he should be. And you're so excited. It looks like you guys are going to have a relationship. And he tells you, look, I really want to be with you. But you know what? Let me I'm going to break up with my girlfriend first. I know we had a couple dates, but I know I didn't tell you right up. But, you know, let me break up with her first. And as soon as I break up with her, we're good to go. We're just smooth sailing. Now, some of you might be happy, but me, I look to see how someone leaves something because it tells me a lot how they're going to treat the current thing. Amen? I don't care what it is. If I'm leaving a job, I think it's respectful to give 2 weeks' notice, at least. If I tell my new employer, you know what, I don't really care about that place anyway. I could care less how they fare after I'm gone. I'll leave tonight if you want. Now, that might sound like, hey, I'm telling them I'm ready to be here. But it also is telling me as a boss, dang, how are they going to do me? How you leave one thing is very important because you're sowing seed even though you're leaving. And so you're setting up the new thing. You got to do it properly. And so let's look here in 2 Chronicles 35. I want you to see something about getting in a fight. Let's see if I can find. Oh, I told you to get there, and I'm not there yet. All right. Let's go in verse 20. Okay. Now, and the reason, I'll tell you the reason I'm going to this scripture first, just so we can try to pull out some things from it. One thing we need to understand is, and it's, I already mentioned how we leave one thing and go into another. I want to show you another piece of that. Overall, we know that we are called of God. We're licensed by God. We're God's people. Even knowing that does not mean everything is ours to deal with. Okay? And I'll show you what I mean here in this scripture. I want you to see this. Josiah became king at the age of 8. Amen? A little young king. And I believe he was, I think he ruled for about 31 years. In this certain scripture where we're talking about the death of Josiah, I want you to see something that really jumped out at me. In verse 20, tell me when you're there. Say amen. Amen. Okay, after all this, when Josiah had set the temple in order, Necho, king of Egypt, went up to fight at Carchemish. Am I saying that right? We don't know. Good, so you don't know. I might be jacking it up. On the Euphrates, and Josiah marched out to meet him in battle. Josiah, God's man, marched out to meet this king of Egypt in battle. But Necho sent messengers to him saying, "What quarrel is there, king of Judah, between you and me? It is not you I am attacking at this time." Listen, it is not you that I'm attacking at this time, but the house with which I am at war. God has told me to hurry. So stop opposing God who is with me, or he will destroy you. Now, I'm sorry. I would think I could hear these things from someone And even if I am the man of God, that would cause me to hold up. Let me check my papers. Let me at least, I might say, hey, stand there for a moment. I know you're in a hurry. Let me confirm this with God. Okay, Lord, what's up? I might do that. But I want you to see, and the reason I'm using this to illustrate something is because a lot of us do this. We automatically stamp ourselves and we say we're gods. Therefore, anything we get into, God's going to be there. God's going to get you out. God's going to cause you to conquer. But notice, the king of Egypt said, at this time, I have nothing with you. You're holding me up. I'm doing what your God told me to do. Can I tell you, for a season, Babylon followed God's orders. There was a season that Babylon followed God's orders. When Judah had to go into bondage, going into bondage was God's will for them.
Yes, it was.
Some would oppose that, but they didn't listen to God. They didn't listen to God's man. What they knew is, I'm God's people. And sometimes we as a church, we are cocky and we just take that stamp, that license that says, I'm God's man, but we don't properly assess things. What I'm telling you is, we take the easy way out. We don't want to do no work. We don't want to go before God and say, is this the thing I should be putting into? Is this the thing I should be investing my time in? Is this where I should be? Now, if we read a little bit further, I won't hold you up with that, but just read a little bit further and you'll see Josiah lost his life. Was he supposed to? No. Was he God's man? But he didn't take time to find out what season he was in. Should he have listened to God? He didn't assess what was going on. Even with the road signs, God told the man of The man of God said, God told me to do this. Stop holding me up. If you hold me up, God's going to destroy you. This is the king of Egypt. Now, let me tell you what we do. Some of us, I don't want to make anybody mad. When I say that, you know, it's like, well, why are you going to say it? You don't want to make nobody mad. Why are you going to say it? Seriously. Sometimes we make an assessment, a weak assessment of what God is doing solely off of labels. Okay? So, maybe you grew up, a woman of God could not speak to you. She had no word for you. She could cook. She could teach the children. But she had no word for you. And there's times that we discard or credit things solely because of our labels. The blessing of God could be walking right by you. Let me tell you this. Here's another one. And I'm not here trying to sell anything. But it might be a person who's Caucasian. Fine young lady who's called of God. And there might be another a young man who's called of God who might be her life's mate. But because he's of a different race, you close it off because you don't expect it to come in that package. I can hear right now some people are saying, oh, he's stretching that scripture. He's stretching that scripture. I'm not. I'm telling you, we got human habits that we do. We do soft assessments. And what I mean by that is, it's not real detailed. It's not where we really dig down and say, God, what are you saying? We do these simple things and say, I'm God's man, so I'm going to win. And when we're rooting for a basketball game or a football game, I always say, well, wait a minute. Does God not have some players on the other team?
That's right.
So who's going to win? You got to know the season. And you can't simply say, I'm God's child, so I'm going to win.
That's right.
The devil gets us because he shows us things that look like what godly people should be doing. And we say, well, I'm a godly person. That's a godly thing. Let's do it. So he can get you focused into doing something that's good, but not necessarily godly. It's not godly because it's bad. It's not godly because I hope you understand what I'm saying, people. The thing that makes it not godly is the fact that he didn't tell you to do it at that time. And many of us do not prosper. We do not succeed because we're doing things God never told us to do. I'll give you another example. I had somebody who was evicted from their house, out of their apartment. And they were so upset. And they said, but I tithed. And I said, you did. Tell me how you tithed. They said, my parents, even the money my parents sent down for my my schooling and for my housing, I tithed off of that. I said, really? They said, yeah. I said, so you're saying that you had a $500 rent payment. Your parents sent $500 for your rent. And you gave 50 of that to the church. I did. Okay, and you considered that tithing. Yes, I did. I was obedient to God. So you only have 450 and your the landlord wasn't taking that. Now, did that person tithe? That person did not tithe. Okay? Now, they'll go back and blame God for them being evicted, but the truth is that was not their increase. That was not increase. When your parents send you money for tuition, you got a bill to pay. They send that for that. That's what that is for. That's like them writing a check. So and so what happens is sometimes we do things and we say this was godly. No, you thought that was the right thing to do. You didn't really study and break it down the way you needed to. Just because it's 10% does not mean it really was your tithe. You got to know what your tithe. You tithe off of your increase. Amen. I know some of you are looking at me like, what in the world? Another situation, we do not thrive. I knew a person who got healed, but they were on disability. They didn't want that check to stop. You had a confession that went against itself. So you get healed at this service, powerful healing takes place, you are now well. The folks who check on you and hold you accountable for disability come through and they say, listen, are you still sick? Tell us how things are going. How are you feeling? Oh, I'm still sick. I'm still bad. I'm still down. Why are you saying that? I want that money. You don't tell them that, but that's really what it is. And guess what? You spoke it right back on yourself. I don't mean to make anybody mad, but I'm telling you, if we are going to go forward, we've got to change some things. We have got to change how we do things. One more thing I want to share, and I won't hold you much more. If we think about this, think about all the denominations that we have. Do you know at some point, each denomination that we have was under the power of God, and it was inspired, it was fresh, it was the illuminated truth for that time, and God moved in a powerful way. The problem that we have, all of us, and I don't want this to be a bad message, a message that make you feel bad. I want it to be a message that makes you run properly and get everything you're supposed to get. So check it out. The problem that we have is when God tells us something and when we realize we finally got what God is saying, it takes us a while to get what God is saying. But when we finally get hold of something, we're good. We'll hold on to it. And it's good. Well, hold on. See, our problem, we don't have a problem holding on. We have a problem with transition. We have a problem with transitioning things. And so here's what happened. We got to understand we are in a relay. We're not in a one-lap race. We're in a relay. And as runners, we're great at holding on to the baton after we know it's ours to hold. Once we get that understanding, this is awesome. This is good. I got a grip on it. I'm not letting it go. So when we're running the lap, things are great because we can run and we can hold on. It's when you have to hand off to what else God is doing. And so the reason we got all these denominations is because they say, I don't want to hand off. this is where God's at, and we're staying here. We landed on it. It's easy. I can do next year what I did last year. It's great. We're going to have an annual revival. I didn't know you could plan those revivals, but you can. So we're going to have an annual revival, and we're stuck here. So what has to happen is now you got to splinter off, and others who say, no, God's doing something here. Since you're not going to go, we're going to start here. So now you got this denomination, and they're on it. It's powerful. They're holding on. They're holding on. And then another one comes along, and they're like, I'm not passing this baton. So we got splinters all over the place. Oh, we believe this. Oh, we believe that. Oh, you got all this splintering going on because we have not learned to run a relay properly. You've got to hand off to the new season. Only way you can do that is timing that thing out right, letting go of that last lap and receiving the new and running forward. The devil doesn't want us to do it. It's on the transition that you got to have the greatest opportunity to drop something. That's where you have the problem. Transition. If you don't transition right, you're dropping this thing. And we drop it all the time. Amen. All right. Y'all like, I heard somebody say, who said that? Somebody said, boy, for a guy who didn't have a message, he sure is talking long. I heard it. All right. Listen, seriously, Bethel, I want to tell you some things. Can I paint a picture for you real quick before I get up off of here? As I look out, I'm really excited. I'm serious about this. I look out across this place and I see God's people who have so much potential to blow this thing up. You just don't realize, and understand when I say you, I mean me too. I don't realize what is around the corner, but it is something awesome and exciting. So understand, as we're seeing our church here, and we see ourselves meeting people in our 50-mile radius. That's good. You've got to understand, in that 50-mile radius, that is 100-mile diameter. That's a good-sized territory. There's so many. Even if we just got 2% of the people in that territory, we could not contain them in this building. We can't contain it in this building. The things, if you think the current leadership can accomplish doing the things that this church needs to do, staying at its level, it's not possible. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying expansion is ours. But God will not allow us to expand until we've done our proper assessing of what we got. How many do we have to manage it? Is our message on point? And trust me, pastor's asking this all the time. Is our message on point? Are we receiving others? Are we diverse enough? Are we receiving others? The truth of the matter is, God wants to drop some things up in this church right now that we will see such a breakout of his presence, people will stop on the road. Don't be surprised someday if we have a policeman out there trying to direct people to the right place and thinking about having an extra parking somewhere because of the move of God. And I want people to start saying, I don't know exactly what's going on out down there in that Meigs County, but it's just amazing. I wanted them to be talking about us and saying, what exactly are you doing to draw people? Because you guys have expanded. And not only do we need to expand, we need to get deep. I'm talking about our spiritual growth. Yes. And now people start saying, maybe we need to have a spot in Walmart for them to do what they got to do. I don't know. Right next to Holzer Clinic, we have just a couple saints over there intercessing. Amen. Why? Because when they pray, things start to happen. Yeah. In Detroit, there was a ministry in Detroit that was such a powerful ministry. They started telling, every time somebody started doing a concert in town, they would pray and intercede that it would go well, that the power of God would fall, and that everything would just be powerful. The devil would be backed off. They would pray, and it got to, that church got such a reputation for interceding for whatever event took place. people started, the city coordinator started getting with them and saying, look, we've got these events planned for the year. Please get your people on them. Please get your people praying on them, because the money comes in, people behave, we have less arrest. Come on now. When we start doing our job, we're going to expand, and it won't just be churches calling us. And actually, a little bit of that is already happening, even with the counseling center. You know, that's already happening, where government officials are calling up and knowing what's going on here at Bethel. I'm trying to tell you, what God has for you is incredible. But we've got to approach it and say, whatever I lost last time, I don't care. It's all done. I'll count that as sunk costs. It's done. I can't regain it. It's done. But now what I will do, I will approach this new thing right now. And I don't know what it looks like, but I know God who parted the Red Sea, he can do it. I know God who caused my wife and I, turned our sorrow into joy, he can do it. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. It's Ephesians 3:20 tells you that. He can do exceedingly abundantly. We got to tell ourselves that. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, and he does it according to the power that is at work in us. So if you can think it, I'm thinking some mighty things for Bethel. Not only Bethel. I want to make sure you don't think I'm talking about the church only. I'm talking about you, each individual. We should have tons of money at home, so we can support missions. We just got diamonds in our land we haven't even pulled up yet. We haven't uncovered our giftings yet. There's things I haven't even marketed about. Oh, there's people like, I'm gonna tell you the truth and I'm gone. God told me, and I don't want this to sound cocky, but I do want you to know what God told me. God said to me, Otis, your voice is supposed to be national and international. He said, why in the world are there still people in Athens who don't know you sing? Athens, little Athens. And he was telling me, that's pitiful. Get on it. Athens is a small territory. Why are there people who still don't know you sing? What I'm telling you is, we have things that's not uncovered, but it's easy to get into the routine. Get caught up and just to count, this is what I do. I make an okay living, actually. But does God want me to make an okay living? I want to do what God has for me to do. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand up. Hallelujah. If you are in this place and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right now you've got a great opportunity. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much, he saw you nasty and tore up, smelly, doing your own thing, even spitting in his face, and he wipes it off. And he says, I died for you. That we can have a relationship, that I can know you personally, and let me embrace you. Let me love you. Let me wipe away your tear and tell you I love you. Where others have thrown you down and forgotten you, where others have used you, I am here to pick you up. I am here to make you whole. Will you receive me today? If you have not received Jesus Christ into your life, now is your time. All you've got to do is wave your hand and say, I want Jesus. That's all you have to do. Amen, I see that. All you have to do is wave your hand and say, I want Jesus, because he wants you. He wants you. He wants you. He knows your hurts. He knows your pains. He saw what happened to you. And though you were embarrassed, he's going to be proud to embrace you. Though you're embarrassed, I know I'm talking to someone else in here. If you want Jesus in your life, one more time, give me a wave. I don't want to miss anyone. Okay. Now, I thought I saw a hand, right? You were confused? Okay, that's all right, girl. She said, I'm saved. I'm already saved. That's all right. Good. I'm glad to know that. So, all right. Hallelujah. God loves you so much. I'm telling you. And I know you hear it over and over, but I want to hear your testimonies. I want to hear the testimonies because it will encourage us all. Because God's got something so awesome he's going to do in us, our extended families even, in the name of Jesus. So be it. Father God, we just thank you for this time. We ask that you would move with our pastors. Take care of them, Father God, as they're dealing with family issues, Father. Oh God, help them. Bring comfort. Bring comfort to Jeannie, Terry, the whole family, Father God. Bring comfort to all of them, Father God. Embrace them, Father God. I just thank you right now. And Lord, help us to be sensitive. Help us to know what to say and what to do. Help us to be support to them, Father God. I thank you for it right now. Oh, yes, yes. Put your arms around them. Hallelujah. That's right. Oh, they need us now. They need us now. Father, we thank you that you will help them and you'll show us what to do. Show us how to be a supportive body, which we are. Help us to keep doing that in Jesus' name. Keep us all safe as we go home, Father God, and we deal with this week. I thank you that we're going to prosper. We're going to be in health, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless.